It's Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
We're going to look at the scripture together. We've looked at that very, very well-known passage. One of the problems with Christmas, of course, is that we know the end of the story. And so it's very difficult for there to be anything new in that sense, because it's such a well-known story to us. So we are going to look at this passage from Luke chapter 1. We have here a reference to, of course, the angel Gabriel. And actually, the angel Gabriel makes a number of appearances in the scripture. In the Old Testament as well, the angel Gabriel appeared and was God's messenger. Particularly in the book of Daniel, we have a reference to the angel Gabriel, who appeared and brought God's message and gave an interpretation of what God wanted for his people at that difficult time when faith was so low. When Daniel was one of the few people being true to God's will, that was the moment at which God sent Gabriel to give his message. So the angel Gabriel appears here to this woman who was probably a teenager at this stage. God appeared at a specific location. And I just want to think about that specific location for a moment or two this morning. There is a picture of modern-day Nazareth, a reasonably affluent city in northern Israel. The city where we find that Mary was when the angel came to her. Ancient Nazareth would have been quite different to that. Probably little more than a village of cave dwellings. Houses back then would have been a combination of mud-constructed brick, but also caves would have been used in the local hillsides, and homes would have been dug out of those. Interesting that even in Jesus' day, when Jesus was an adult, Nazareth had a reputation. You may remember when Jesus was going around calling his disciples, one of the men who heard the call from Jesus was a man called Nathanael. And Nathanael gets referred to as a true Israelite. And I think it's an interesting phrase when he says, because Nathanael says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And I think, now I hope there are no Yorkshire people here today, but you know the way they talk about Yorkshire folk being straight talking? And I think that's a little bit what it's like with this man, Nathanael, because he's described as, here is a true Israelite, or a true speaker. You know, he doesn't mince his words, he says it straight. But Nathanael knew the reputation of Nazareth. Can anything good come from there? Of course, we know Jesus wasn't actually born in Nazareth, but everybody knew him to come from Nazareth. I wonder what the modern equivalent to Nazareth could be. What's the modern equivalent that people say, can anything good come from? Do you know, I was just going to say that, because that is so true. Croydon gets a really bad press. I love listening to a particular radio program called... Sorry, I Haven't a Clue, which is on Radio 4. And the last two episodes of it, they seem to record two per session. The last two have been from Croydon. And what Jack D, the guy who presents the programme, does, it's a tradition that you run down whichever place you're presenting the programme from. But he didn't have any trouble finding all of the urban myths about Croydon, which I won't go into now, but there's a serious point underneath all of that, that Croydon really does get a really rough press. I know that there are massive financial problems with the council, but I also know that there are big issues around crime and other things. But I think the important thing for anyone to remember, and for us to remember when we're thinking about other places, is that people live there. People are good, people are bad, people are rich, people are poor, people are difficult, people are generous. You know what I mean? But there's a mix of people, and in the end, Croydon is filled with people who are trying to make a life for themselves. So you're right, Cyrage. I think in many ways, Croydon is the place that gets chosen. But perhaps also sometimes a particular estate might get chosen. Can anything good come out of such and such? And there's always, people always tend, it's often what's closest to you that, you want to distance yourself from. So, can anything come from wherever? Whatever place we designate or define as our Nazareth, that's the place God sent his archangel to. So I want you to imagine this morning, where has God sent the angel Gabriel to? He sent it to Croydon. He sent it to whatever that estate down the road is that you don't really want to walk through late at night. That's the place that God sends his messenger to. That's the place that God wants to be filling with his presence and his love. Where people have lost hope, where they get looked down on, that is the place that God sends his messenger to. Gabriel seems to have been in charge of the divine telegram service. The problem is, you say that these days, and most people don't know what a telegram is. But it doesn't really work to say, well, he's the one that sends the emails. It just doesn't seem to work in the same way. But he's the one that brought the messages from God. God still works in unexpected places today. Should we be looking amongst the poor and the dispossessed of this city, of this town of Croydon, for the good news to come with power, and for the life of Christ to be seen in some of the most unexpected places? I was chatting last week with a guy who works for a particular youth charity up in around Norwood Junction. And he was talking about some of the amazing things that are happening there amongst their young people. This coming Thursday, they're taking over Oasis Academy Arena on Albert Road, I think it is, and they're taking that over on Thursday evening, and lots of the students who have been studying and learning how to cook are cooking for as many local people who want to come along and enjoy a meal. See, the narrative we often give about young people is what trouble they are, what difficulties we have with them. Actually, what we need to be doing is telling the good news story about what our young people are doing, looking for ways in which they can give back to their communities, because actually, they're not just the future, they are the present. They are the ones we're reliant on now to help us to make sense of a troubled world, a troubled community around us here. And we need those opportunities to celebrate what young people are doing, rather than listening to the tired old narrative of our young people. So I'm going along to that meal. I had an invitation from Jordan, and hey, I never turn down food. So, you know, I'll be there. And if anybody wants to join me, do let me know. I think it starts at 6 o'clock. So I'm going to go there, but I'm not just going for the food. I want to see and experience young people giving back. Because for me, that's one of those little miracles that we have to celebrate and keep hold of. So join me for a free meal. Do speak to me about me if you'd like to join me. But 6 o'clock on Thursday outside Arena Academy. So, the angel Gabriel appeared in this tiny little village in Nazareth. The angel Gabriel appeared to a named person. He appeared to a named person. I wonder what Mary was doing when Gabriel appeared to her. Perhaps she was sweeping out the dirt and the mess from her small, drafty dwelling. Perhaps she was singing a psalm as she swept. We know that she knew at least one psalm by heart, because actually we have it reflected later on in chapter 1. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my soul rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arms. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever. Even as he said to our fathers. I wonder whether Mary was singing those words as she cleaned out her little home. Who knows? Then suddenly a bright light shines in the hut, and an unearthly voice speaks so that she draws back with a gasp. Can you imagine it? This appearance of something that is obviously not human. But Gabriel reads her reaction, and he says words that are some of the most well-spoken words in the whole Bible. Hundreds of times this little phrase is used. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You know, it's interesting, when you dig under the surface, so much of what happens in our world, both the local, The interactions with us, with our neighbours, or with other folk that we don't perhaps know, but right up to international engagements between governments, so much of it is defined by fear. So much. If we could only deal with our fears in different ways, rather than putting up barriers to reject and push away, in an attempt to keep ourselves safe, which of course only causes them to feel more fearful and then to put up their barriers against us. But here is Gabriel speaking to this teenage woman and just says to her, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." And then he says one more word, "Mary. I know your name. You are known by God." In a culture where women were regarded as very much second-class citizens, a woman couldn't give evidence in court because her evidence was regarded as of no value back in this day. Yet Gabriel comes as the messenger from God. He knows her name. He invites us to come with all that we are to respond to all that he is. He knows us. He knows us with our failures. He knows us with our inadequacies. He knows the ways in which we sometimes can't be bothered. And yet he still chooses to know our names and wants to use us for his purposes. To speak a word of encouragement. To be the one that helps someone out in a really difficult situation. To be there when a family is grieving or hurting. For you, Lourdes and Tony, to be there for those girls having lost their mum. You're the hands and the voice and the arms of Jesus wrapping around that family. We're called to be the ones who respond in difficult circumstances, offering all that we are to respond to all that God is. The angel Gabriel also appeared, giving a unique message, a unique message. No one else in human history would ever receive such a challenge and responsibility from God. Mary was chosen to receive and bear the offspring of God the Father in her own womb. This is an amazing, and it must have been so mind-blowing for Mary to know this thing, that she was to be used by God to bring about the birth of his son into this world. I've referred to the birth of Jesus as the tipping point before, the spiritual tipping point of the history of our world. That actually all of history up until then was preparing for the arrival of Jesus, and all of history since then has been about how we as humanity respond to the gift from God of his Son. We today have that choice. How do we respond? We have the choice to reject, to say, "No, I'm going to get on with my life just as I want to." Or we can respond and recognize that God has given his Son and given a way for us to find the salvation and the wholeness that God wants for us, even in a broken world. So in this way, in being prepared to be used by God to bear his son Jesus, Mary is a model for all Christians, that God may ask us to do things that seem beyond us. How could I ever do that? Mary may have thought. How could we ever do some of the respond to some of the situations we find ourselves in? And yet God offers us his power and his presence to enable us to respond and obey. Gabriel says, the Holy Spirit will come on you and God's power will rest upon you. God's power, his presence with Mary. Why does Gabriel say that Mary was greatly blessed? Some Christians take this idea and speak about the Blessed Virgin Mary. But I want to not get into that more that way of understanding, but rather to recognize that God did say through Gabriel that Mary would be blessed. And what does that mean for us? Why does Gabriel say this? Well, firstly, her reactions suggest that Mary had an inner beauty. Now, let me just explain what I mean there. That in the letter that's referred to there, the first letter of Peter, he talks about encouraging Christian women in the church that he's writing to, the church he's writing to, those women, not to focus on outward beauty, but rather inward spiritual beauty. Now, I think there's a danger here that we can get into this whole business of women shouldn't wear makeup and all that sort of thing. And for me, that all comes back to men, so often, trying to define what it is that women do with their faces or whatever else. That, for me, is not the issue. The spirit of this message here is God doesn't look at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. And so whether you wear makeup or not is not the issue. The issue is the beauty we should be seeking is that beauty that's within, not the beauty that is outward. So I think Mary had that sort of inner radiance, that inner sense of who she was that was so attractive and so lovely in that way. We see this inner beauty because she had a simple faith expressed in verse 34, where she says, how will this be since I am a virgin? How can it be that I will have this child that is to be, that is the Son of God, when I am not married and I have not engaged in sexual intercourse? And this is the that sense of simple faith and asking the questions. Mary didn't argue. No, this can't be. She didn't wrestle with God like Jacob did in the Old Testament. Neither did she laugh cynically like Sarah did when Sarah was promised that she would have a child in her old age. Mary didn't laugh, she didn't argue with God, but she did question, how can this be? She had a genuine humility, as we read in verse 38. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. She's saying to the angel, "If this is, Lord, if this is what you want for me, then I accept it." She didn't know what that would mean. We know later on that the scripture talks about a sword being pierced into her heart. She would see her own child 33 years later. Killed in the most awful way. And yet she accepted God's invitation to fulfill his purposes for her. And she had a sense of wonder. I've already read that beautiful psalm that actually is very much reflective of a psalm in the Old Testament. And we think those words, in fact, we know are lifted straight out of the Psalms. But Mary, of course, applies them to herself and to all people who are oppressed, all people who are ignored. And it's interesting, you know, there's the words there of the way that God sends away the rich empty, but fills the hungry with good things. And so these words very much reflect that God is with the dispossessed. He's with those who have so little that are looked down on. During the conversation with Gabriel, Mary comes to rejoice. She rejoices in the fact that God has chosen her, even for this incredibly difficult role of giving birth to and raising this boy who is God's son. The angel Gabriel appears with powerful promises. And we who can read these here, you will bear God's son. She was to have a vital role, as I say, in that tipping point of the spiritual history of the world. He will be an eternal king, verse 33 says. So Jesus' kingship was to be unique in both its quality and its nature. He wasn't going to be an earthly king who would dominate and build territory, but rather he would reflect the character of God, his Father, in the way that he lived and brought about his kingdom. Elizabeth will also give birth in old age, Gabriel says. And I think there's a very human touch here to these words, as though God is saying, through Gabriel, he's saying, I'm doing a miracle in Elizabeth's life as well. So she at least will understand. She at least will know that what was impossible has happened in her life. So Mary, you can have one other person who can say to you, I do know what you're going through. I never believed I could have a child, and yet look now. And so Elizabeth, I think, was given as a gift to Mary to say, one other person will understand something of what you're going through. We thank God that he sent the angel Gabriel to prepare Mary for this amazing thing. Let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you that these words here, we are reminded of the amazing, frightening experience for Mary, of discovering that she was to play such an important role in seeing your purposes, Lord, fulfilled in this world. We pray, Lord, as we have to respond to difficult circumstances, as we find ourselves being asked to shoulder burdens that we would never have asked for or looked for, that, Lord God, we also will say, as Mary did, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Lord, help us to look to you for the strength and your presence to be with us as we shoulder difficult burdens in our lives. Amen.